Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, moving over to the other side of the Atlantic, where weather is also a concern, because all eyes are on Iowa this morning. The US presidential race officially gets underway. The focus is on the Republican contest, where Donald Trump is the front runner by some distance. Polls indicating the former US ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, is in second position. Let's hear Donald Trump speaking at his rally yesterday.
So if you want to save America from crooked Joe Biden, you must go caucus tomorrow. The first step. We got to do it. We got to do it big. You got to get out. You can't sit home. If you're sick as a dog, you say, darling, I've got to make it. Even if you vote and then pass away, it's worth it. If you're sick, if you're just so sick, you can't. Darling, I don't think. Get up. You get up. You vote. Yes, darling. Ultimately, we know who calls the shots, right? Right, Polly? So you be safe and all, you're going to be safe. And again, all indoors, it's going to be all indoors. But you got to get up, you got to vote. Because it has nothing to do with anything but taking our nation back. And that's the biggest thing there is.
All right, Donald Trump there. And clearly he's concerned about the story that's dominating the news in the United States today. The weather, this major winter storm, which brought icy winds and heavy snowfall across large parts of the country. Well, with the very latest on all of this, I'm joined on the line by Terry Sheridan, news director at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, thank you very much for joining us. And I want to talk to you about this winter storm firstly, because it has brought brutally cold temperatures to many parts of the country, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as far as cold, it's gone down to about 0 degrees in much of the country, which would be about negative 18 Celsius, down as low as minus 30, as well when you factor in the wind chill. And the wind, at least here in the New York area, has been absolutely brutal for the past 2 days. This comes off a series of storms. Last week, the Northeast and the East Coast had flooding rains. I don't know if you've seen pictures of some of the coastal towns along the ocean, but, you know, they're basically underwater.
Yeah,
and central,
we have seen the images as well, Terry, of the snow that has fallen, and of particular concern for the politicians is the snow that has fallen in Iowa, because those freezing temperatures could affect the turnout at the caucus events.
Absolutely. Iowa just came out of a blizzard at the early part of the weekend, so there are feet of snow there, plus the wind, plus the brutally cold temperatures, and that's what you heard Donald Trump trying to do, trying to encourage his supporters to get out tonight to caucus and to obviously vote for him.
And all of the candidates are asking people to come out despite those temperatures, which could reach as low as 30 degrees Celsius, minus
Absolutely.
30.
Yes, minus 30. Absolutely. Because this is, again, I'm going to say two conflicting things at once. Iowa represents less than 1% of the United States population. It is non-representative as well. However, it is the first and therefore sets the table. So a good performance, even if it's not a win for either Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis, could propel them. A relatively poor performance from Donald Trump, even though he is the front runner and could come in first place, could create an opening for Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis to continue their campaign.
Mm-hmm. Ron DeSantis seems to have been very active in Iowa despite the conditions. Is he concerned here? Because there's some speculation that if he doesn't do well in these events that are on the agenda in the next couple of weeks, that he might just drop out.
That's exactly right. I mean, again, he is still the governor of Florida, so he still has a major state to govern. The thing is, Iowa is all about perception. So if he comes in third place, and if he comes in third place by a distance, the perception will be that he can't win. So yes, a poor performance by Ron DeSantis. He doesn't have to win, but a poor performance by Ron DeSantis probably will mean that the campaign may be over now. It may be over after New Hampshire in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And Nikki,
or next week, I'm sorry.
Nikki Haley then seems to be doing quite well, but you need to put quite well into context when you're running against Donald Trump for the Republican nomination.
Absolutely. Now, again, an average of all the polls show that Trump has 52% of the vote. Haley only has 18% of Republicans in Iowa. So, again, she has a hill to climb. But if Donald Trump gets below 50% when the results come in tonight and Haley does much better than anticipated, that could create an opening. It's all about how it's spun. Donald Trump could be the first place candidate tonight, but say he has 45%. That would be considered a loss for Donald Trump.
Well, let's talk a little bit more now about his campaign in Iowa, because amongst his supporters, Donald Trump's supporters at the rally yesterday was the British politician Nigel Farage. Let's hear a moment, a clip here. This is the moment where Donald Trump picked Farage out of the crowd.
We can also do it. Is that Nigel Farage, by the way? Oh, you stand up, will you? I'm just looking at this handsome guy. He's been a backer of mine from day one. A thing called Brexit, very non-controversial. And you've been right. They haven't implemented too well, but you've been right. No, we're big fans. Thank you, Nigel. It's really an honor to have you here. Great. You look great. I love these suits. You know, they know how to dress over there. We don't know how to dress like they do. Thank you. Great honor, man.
Do voters know who Nigel Farage is?
For the most part, no. However, Donald Trump and all the campaigns, they've been bringing out surrogates for all their events, even events that they're not at. And there'll be surrogates tonight. The interesting thing about the caucus is it's actually run by the party and not by the state government. And it's actually a meeting. So representatives of the candidate can go to the over 1,600 caucuses tonight that are held at church halls, town halls, etc., and plead their case briefly. And then a vote is handled. But again, surrogates have been all over Iowa for all the candidates.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say Ron DeSantis might drop out after this. It means a lot to Nikki Haley to perform better than the 18% she's at in the polls, because the Iowa caucus hasn't been successful at picking the Republican candidate in the recent past. How important is it?
Well, again, as I said, it's all about perception. Donald Trump lost Iowa in 2016, and that was the first time that he used that the vote was rigged, that argument. He came in second to Ted Cruz. The Iowa caucus generally does not pick the candidate, especially for the Republican Party. However, it can change the story, and it can change momentum. And it has thrown up surprises. If you hear names that you may not recognize, that have candidates that have won the Iowa caucus, Pete Buttigieg on the Democratic side, Rick Santorum on the Republican side. So it's not necessarily a kingmaker, but again, it's all about that momentum, and it's all about the perception of who is winning and who's losing.
So how important then, if we move on to New Hampshire, how important is that?
That's pretty much the same as Iowa. Again, a very small state that's non-representative of the general population of the United States. But again, if Donald Trump does bad and Nikki Haley does well, that changes the narrative that Donald Trump is vulnerable. And then they go into South Carolina, the primary, where Nikki Haley was the former governor. That happens in 2 weeks. She should do well in her own home state. Now, again, if Donald Trump wins big tonight, if he wins big in New Hampshire, then South Carolina primary may be too late. On the Democratic side, 4 years ago, Joe Biden lost Iowa and he lost New Hampshire. He won South Carolina, and that propelled him to the nomination.
Joe Biden, then, on the Democratic side, he still is the only one in the Democratic ranks likely to take the nomination, right?
Absolutely. Unless something happens in the next 6 months before the nominating conventions, whether it's a health issue, whether it's something else, right now with Joe Biden, is the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. The key swing states then, Terry, will you remind us where they are, what they are?
Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Minnesota, states that have been either in their recent past what we would call red, meaning that they lean towards the Republicans, or blue, leaning towards Democrats. They're now what they call purple. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, they are the important ones. They're the ones that can turn the election. They're the ones that Hillary Clinton lost by very small margins in 2016 that propelled Donald Trump to the White House. These were the states that after the election, Donald Trump fought very hard to get the votes overturned, because that would mean that he would win if he got votes disqualified.
But the unstoppable momentum as we sit here in January ahead of the November election is Donald Trump versus Joe Biden.
If I had to put money down, that's what I would put down.
Terry, good to talk to you as always. Terry Sheridan there joining us from WSHU Public Radio. Coming up next, a story in Dermot Ferriter on the teething problems faced by the new Irish state back in 1924.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.